Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with the church bulletin seen in Durrington Parish News, read by Charlotte Green.
This being Easter Sunday, we'll ask Mrs. Johnson to come and lay an egg on the altar.
Thanks to Lillian Emsley for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith and Alexi Sale. And facing them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Phil Hammond. Linda, you get the serious, miserable question. Whose united stand looks bound to fail?
This is the war, isn't it?
It is.
And, actually, the news is the war is off, apparently. Yeah, George Bush, just before we came on stage on telly, came on, made a speech, said, look, the war's off. I'll be honest, it was all about oil. And I just did it because I wanted to get re-elected. Well, elected, if I'm being honest. And... So, that's all good news, isn't it? But not really. That's not really what's happening.
I think I actually think war is inevitable now with France.
You mean always?
Because you noticed today they said that the Queen shouldn't go to Belgium next week for safety reasons. Now, I might be, I didn't get geography and I'm not. But Belgium is nowhere near Iraq. But it's dead near France.
Americans attacking the French for having cynical economic interests in Iraq. Which is a bit like America attacking the French for their junk food and shopping malls, isn't it?
I love Tony Blair's six tests that Saddam's got to fulfil, these six tests. It's like some sort of quest, isn't it? Mm. Before you have the hand of my daughter, you must complete six tests. First, you must pull the sword from a tin of Quality Streets. Next, you must take the Werther's Originals from the throat of Tony Benn. It's not, but they're not
They're actually trying to get him to dress up as a banana and go on Iraqi television saying, I've been a naughty boy, here are my weapons. So I think it's rather savvy.
He's got to walk through Baghdad with a sign on his arse saying, kick me, and things like that.
Oh, it's been a lovely day for Ian Duncan Smith, though, hasn't it? Invited into 10 Downing Street for the only time ever in his life.
He came out, his big moment, he came out and he said, well, it's funny that on the outside it looks quite small, but when you get in there, really quite spacious. There's embarrassment with Rumsfeld saying that our troops aren't needed. And then, of course, there's a quick scurrying around, and Tommy Franks, the general, says, no, Britain's troops are needed, obviously, to catch all the bullets and shells that go astray.
Oh, here's another one, Mr. Franks, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
And all these squaddies are standing around saying, well, we've got a job to do, and you think, no, you haven't, that's why you joined the army. It's not a job.
Prime Minister's official spokesman denied allegations that Mr. Blair was on the brink of starting World War III. Or, for those of you listening to the repeat, the Prime Minister's official spokesman said Mr. Blair has apologised for starting World War III. Alexei, what has been a gift for royal critics?
This is the... I assume this is the scandal today about the... I don't know what the bloody hell it's about, really, but it's... it's some story about something at Buckingham Palace that happened sometime. And everybody's drunk there, and... that they've been paying the staff, the butlers and that, with gifts that you got given by people. I think it's an odd thing to want to be, I think, in this day and age, a servant. Have you ever noticed that none of the great butlers of the world are actually Scousers? Your sherry's here, do you want it or what? Yeah, I'll get the frigging car for you now, if you want. Your Majesty.
The one that's resigned.
He's resigned, but set up a consultancy. He's gone into that.
I think
Twilight
he's set up
world.
A gift shop, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Gifts and very, 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 very fancy goods.
The interesting thing about it is that the classic whitewash is to blame the system. It's like a big collusion of anonymity. Lots of things went wrong, but it's all the system's fault. And apparently, the reason they couldn't pin the blame on him, there were no guidelines as to what constituted a gift. Which seems bizarre, that a gift is something that somebody gives you. But they didn't have a guideline on what was a gift, and therefore they couldn't string anyone up for handing out gifts and selling them or flogging them.
The report into the sales of gifts within Prince Charles's household was published this week, prompting his personal assistant, Michael Fawcett, to resign. It's been claimed that Charles's personal assistant, Michael Fawcett, was allowed to sell unwanted royal gifts. Things got out of hand when he tried to sell Cornwall to an American tourist.
But you see, when we were watching the telly before, and it said that Fawcett had actually held the bottle when Prince Charles had given a urine sample. I mean, you could do that for yourself, couldn't you, really?
Not well, I couldn't, because I'd need 8-foot-long arms, but... Phil, your piece of music. I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Tell me, is it just a dream? When I come home... You couldn't see that, but under this desk I was moonwalking.
Actually, it wasn't Michael Jackson, it was Rockwell.
Rockwell?
Mm.
Also, showing your ass isn't moonwalking, Linda.
Oh, I don't know. I suspect it's something to do with the reborn Snoopers Charter. A while ago, David Blunkett, another, he's come up with 100-and-something initiatives, apparently, since he came into office. He produced a Snoopers Charter, which... gave anyone in public office, the woman behind the post office counter, the rise and ability to read your emails or intercept your mobile calls. They decided this has gone too far, and he's now trying to limit it to 5 organisations. Like the Coast Guard, for some reason, needs to phone you on your mobile when you're drowning. If another public body wishes to intercept your private emails, they have to go through someone called the Interception Communication Commissioner or some vague Orwellian figure. But I suppose the difficulty is that everyone who possesses a computer at some stage, completely by accident in the name of research, has gone onto the Nobby the Swedish Postman website. my parents doing the Telegraph Christmas crossword came across the clue Asian Weasel, which they thought was Sable but weren't sure. And as virgin silver surfers, they typed Asian Weasel into the search engine. And you can imagine that's on their record now. But it's a huge undertaking. I mean, everything you ever, every phone call you make, every web page you visit, they have to keep a record of for a year, which seems an absurd waste of time and effort.
So these Asian weasels, are they like...
You don't get to see one until you've given your credit card details. That's the catch.
What, you have to marry this small rodent? Yeah. Bring it over to England. It doesn't speak any English, but it's really, really grateful. Is it a euphemism for something, Asian weasel? Everyone looks very knowing here. You're all in the Countryside Alliance, aren't you? Weasels enjoy marriage, and it's more humane than shooting them.
Was it Ron Davies was looking for in...
Somerset, yeah, just south of Bath.
Yeah,
well-known spot. Oh, yes. Yeah. Been there many times.
Those rare Japanese fighting weasels.
You know, in the gay community, there's different, like, lay-bys and woods and stuff where you can go for different things, and they specify, like, that wood was for Asian weasel inserting or whatever. And...
In the name of public health, can I just say, put the tail in last? If you put the tail in first, you're ranking it out again. Always leave the tail till last.
Home Secretary David.
He's a high-pitched laugher down there. He's obviously tried it the other way.
Opponents of the plan are worried the government is undermining people's right to privacy.
I've just realised the origins of the line, pop goes the weasel.
Oh, don't forget the treacle. Treacle's very important.
Jeremy, why can our youth look forward to a fine time in the fight against crime?
The government is failing in its target to lift young people out of poverty. So the answer is they're going to fine the parents of poor children. Because, remarkably, it's been found that poor children very often come from poor families. Seldom do they come from the families of the wealthy. So to discourage people from being poor and encourage them to be born into wealth and privilege, they're going to fine the parents. But homeless people will be evicted as a punishment for having nowhere to live. They will take space away.
This is all Blunkett, the man with the golden retriever, isn't it?
But the other thing about this thing is it's not just policemen who can fine you now. They're giving police approval badges to dinner ladies and park wardens and anyone.
But let's face it, it's time that librarians were armed.
Years ago, I did this Nicaragua benefit at the theatre in Sheffield. But afterwards, we were introduced to the local dignitaries. And Blunkett was the head of Sheffield Council at the time. I didn't really know him, but he came backstage, and after we met him, my wife said, I don't like that man. There's something funny about his eyes.
Let's have a go, Home Secretary. David Blunkett's new antisocial behaviour white paper called Respect and Responsibility, which seeks to deal with job culture with on-the-spot fines. The proposals will make it easier to evict people who make their neighbours' lives hell. So that's some good news for Gordon Brown at last. We start round two with a cutting from the British Airways website.
Two free Club Europe tickets if you sleep with us.
Thanks to Chris Kirkham for that. Linda, which posh girl has been paying out for fakes?
This is a posh spice. She thought this autograph of David's that they were selling was fake, I think because it wasn't in brown crayon. And it was all joined up and everything. But turns out, no, it was. It was the boy's signature, so she's had to give him a load of money and a load of footballs.
Did you actually see the signature, though? The signature actually did look like a pubic hair. Interested, is that one of David's? But
we don't all have the same intimate knowledge of pubic hair. Mr. Dirty Doctor.
Very important job.
Oh, yes. Tell us more about this pube, then.
No, it's radio programmes. It's not entirely suitable. If you go back and get your cuttings out and look at the autograph, it looks like a pubic hair. That's all I'm saying. You told me to do more observational stuff. It's your fault.
Victoria Beckham has agreed to supply the shop with official merchandise with her husband's signature on. It's called a cheque for £55,000. Alexi, listen to this. Walking in your footsteps. Walking in your footsteps. Walking in your footsteps. Alexi, which feats are making a big impression?
This is a story about how they've just recently found some footprints on a mountainside, I think in Italy, that are supposedly the oldest footprints ever, and they're 350,000 years old, apparently. And I'd also like you to tell me how I can get anything funny out of that.
Oldest gag in the book.
But also they thought they could measure their height by their footsteps. But if they're walking down a volcano, they'd go, ooh, ooh, ow, ooh, ooh. Little footsteps, wouldn't they, really?
Anything that reminds us of our ancestry is good news. I've read, actually, coincidentally this week, if you hold hands with your mum, she holds hands with her mum, and you go on holding hands with your mum's mum, before you get to Gloucester, you'd be holding hands with an ape. There'd be an ape on the end of the line. Just an excuse used by Virgin on the...
Well, I know people who don't like Gloucester, but that seems a little...
But it's good. It's a good one in the eye for the creationists. You know, it's good to realise our ape ancestors, I think. We should celebrate that. We're all African apes on a very brief joyride. We should be happy about that.
By studying the 43-foot-long zigzag tracks, scientists have concluded that Neanderthal man walked in an erratic fashion, possibly to fend off capture by predators. Either that or they were the first people ever to perform the agadoo. Phil, here's the Alan Corran memorial question. Who had a Nazi case of the pox?
Well, this is the allegations from an American historian with a book to sell who claims that Hitler had syphilis.
What, Hitler?
Not only.
I'm glad I never shagged him.
This academic is trying to claim not only did he have all the symptoms of it, it might have explained his motivation, which I think is very...
I read that he died of it. It's strange that he should die of it at the same moment he took a great big load of cyanide. Yeah.
Now, the point about syphilis, in its latter stages, it
comes from weasels, they reckon.
Now, Columbus is responsible for bringing syphilis back... from the Americas. But the point, in its latter stages, it can give you general paralysis of the insane, and people do commonly think they're Hitler, and if they're Hitler, I presume they think they're Napoleon or something. So you can get these delusions. But Most people with syphilis just get a little sore and they get it treated. And the difficulty is, when you've got a non-sexy illness like syphilis, you need celebrity endorsement, you know. Camilla Parker Bowles apparently is doing osteoporosis, right? Nobody will do syphilis. Nobody will do herpes. Nobody wears a herpes. So I suppose you're clutching at straws. Hitler is about as good a celebrity endorsement as you get. As a figurehead for National Syphilis Awareness Week.
Did Columbus really bring back syphilis from America? Because so, Walter Raleigh got useful stuff like fags and spuds, didn't he?
His brother had got his T-shirt said, you know, my brother went to New York and all I got back was this lousy sexual transmission.
I once saw a slide, as a medical student, of a bloke with syphilis on the end of his big toe, right? Because he was on the train and leaves on the line, he stopped, and he pleasured a young lady opposite him with his big toe, and he got a chancre on the end of his toe. But the thing is, it's painless, and like most blokes... syphilitic chancre, it's the...
That's a sitar sword. Player.
So if you do get a painless sore on your knob, don't think it's a love bite or a grating injury. Badger bite. Please get it treated.
And maybe always Sudan's keep your plimsolls on during sex. Remember, always wear a slipper.
According to a new book published this week, Hitler may have been dying of syphilis in the Berlin bunker. It's thought that Hitler was embarrassed about getting the clap. He preferred a one-armed salute. Jeremy, who's teed off about the yips?
Oh, I don't know. What is it, what? Teed off. Golf.
Yes. Correct. 2 points.
It's something that golfers get when suddenly they get flashbacks to when they were alive.
It's a classic case of medicalisation. It's some private American clinic that's trying to make money out of golfers, and they're not telling them they have the yips, which is all in the mind. You see, you give it a fancy name. Well, I haven't got the yips, I've got faecal dystonia. It's very serious. And you pay lots of money to a private clinic, and then they tell you to buy a new club and take a few deep breaths. So it's a huge private American clinic making money out of stupid golfing.
The yips, the Chinese family from Liverpool, aren't they? David Yip, he was in that Chinese detective.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
Easy casting that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Imaginatively titled as well, The Chinese Detective.
Yeah.
It's funny though, it is really, like Chinese people in Liverpool, it is brilliant because you've got the sort of the Liverpool accents, you know, Scouse, and but then they talk in Chinese, going, Yung Feng Sha, oh, get lost, will you, Ronnie? You know, Yung Feng Sha.
Scientists from an American clinic claim to believe the dreaded affliction, the yips, which causes golfers' hands to shake when they putt, is a physical, not a psychological problem. Those having difficulties are advised by the clinic, and this is a verbatim quote from the report, to alter their grip, change the length of their shaft, and try to ease their balls towards the hole. And apparently the same advice applies to golf. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the BBC Sport website.
Second over. Sanat Jayasuriya comes off the field injured after taking a knock from a Brett Lee delivery. He looks in some pain as he comes off carrying his arm.
Thanks to Paul Salmon of Norwich for that. Linda, your last question.
I woke up this morning, looked out my door. Yeah. I could tell my old milk cow, I could tell by the way she looked.
Tell it.
If you see my milk cow, please drive her on home.
Put her in low and drive.
Zane had no milk and butter since my milk cow been gone.
Oh, I know what you're talking, let me tell you.
Linda, what will be pulling the other one in future?
It's this new robo-milker. That's going to milk cows now, which, I mean, it's already mechanised, isn't it? But this one plugs itself in, so the farmer doesn't even have to get up in the morning. So the cows go in, the robot milks them, the farmer just lies in bed. It's it's a marvellous thing, science. And, I think that's what it is, really, isn't it?
It's always been fairly mechanised, though, hasn't it? I mean, it's not all Marie Antoinette sort of slumming it, is it? It's done by machines now. It's not rosy-cheeked dairy maids, is it? It's sort of fainting in a swoon when the squire's boy comes past on his huge charger and gives her a farthing and says, pretty little thing, aren't you? And she says, well, thank you, kind sir. It's not like that anymore. It's all machines.
I think the difference with this one is even the machines they have at the moment, you need a man or somebody or a farmer to connect the teats, and then it's done automated. So it says a lot if a robot based on a vacuum cleaner and an elephant's trunk is actually easier with a teat than a man. That sort of sums it all up. Men's nipple tenderness isn't always the best, is it?
Oh, you can make any question medical, can't you?
And they're overdoing it. They like having a gentle touch, and they're going in there far too often and being overmilked.
Oi, leave the vets to do the cow. It's demarcation.
Dr. Bruce Davis of Pontardawe near Swansea is producing a new robotic milking machine in the form of a flexible arm which can find a cow's udder and attach itself to the teats. Dr. Davis grew up on a farm and spent his youth milking cows using an old-fashioned three-legged milking stool till someone pointed out that milking them with his hands was much easier.
Mind you, the cows aren't going to get a look in when the bull finds out about the machine, are they?
Phil, who is helping criminals to click?
Barbara Windsor's old flame, Ronnie Knight?
Yes.
Knight? Who did a stretch inside for a bit of bullion laundering or whatever. He's jumped on the Friends Reunited thing and he's doing a Crooks Reunited website. But he's opening it to everyone. There is little maps of how to get to the prison, and ex-screws can track down their favourite ex-con, and it's all sorts of family fun, I think. Apparently you feel very isolated when you come out of prison. It's a nice sort of extended community, keep all the family together, and I rather guess that the Snoopers Charter will be keeping a close eye on the...
my favourite ever tabloid headline was concerning these old lags, these old villains. There was a picture of one of the Cray twins, which was the really, really mad one. Sorry?
Sylvia.
There was Sylvia Cray.
Much of her, did she didn't come out much.
Sylvia Cray and two of the Richardson gang were visiting Sylvia in prison, and they're having a cup of tea, and there was a picture of them all having a cup of tea, and the headline was, "I could murder another McVitie's."
So when you join Crooks Reunited, you get an email, and it comes up, "Recognise any of these names?" And you write back, "No. I ain't seen him, understand?"
This week saw the launch of Crooks Reunited, a new website featuring a Lonely Hearts column for criminals. Sadly, criminals who are currently in jail do not have access to the web and have to rely on more traditional ways of finding new friends, such as dropping the soap in the showers. Jeremy, why are kids going off the rails?
It's something to do with children and trains.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Virgin are trying to cut costs by having children run on tracks. Is that it?
Is this one of these things about kids watching, getting influenced by the telly?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, trains then, got to be Thomas, the tank engine.
It is.
Is it, yeah, thing of it being too scary for them and violent? Oh, it's just such nonsense, isn't it, really? I mean, I have had a fair few games of Cluedo in my life. But I have never, ever gone out looking for Colonel Mustard to bash his head in with a length of lead pipe in the billiard room. Though, if I did want to, this was probably the town to find him, I would have thought.
Yes, his argument that preschool children are unduly influenced by what they see, and they might take it as being realistic, the number of crashes on Thomas. But the fact that the trains have faces and talk might be a slight indicator that it's not terribly realistic.
Some dodgy things, though, in Thomas the Tank Engine. There's one where one of the trains... sort of goes on strike, doesn't want to go out in the rain, so they brick him up. They brick him up, and this sinister sort of Ringo Starr voice sort of says, you know, like, "And I think he deserved it, don't you, children?"
A new report by psychologist Dr. Brian Young claims Thomas the Tank Engine features too many crashes. Dr. Young's report outlines the terror of seeing Thomas crash, but completely fails to deal with the terror of hearing Ringo Starr speak. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
Yes, this cutting was sent in by Joe Buttici, and it's from the Daily Telegraph. "Managers on a training course to improve work attendance were so keen to please their company that they agreed to run barefoot across a bed of hot embers in a test of mind over matter." Several of them sustained burnt feet and had to have time off work.
Alexei.
I noticed this one's actually from the Reverend Graham Beardsley, the vicarage, Dovecot Avenue, Liverpool. So he's obviously one of them dead hard vicars. And he says, I thought you might enjoy the following item, which appeared in the Liverpool Echo a couple of years ago. It was an entry in the small ad section under a tenner, and it simply read, £5 full-length mirror, unused.
Phil.
This is from Anne Taylor, a letter in last month's Leicester Mercury. Local hospitals treated my late husband better than I think any private one could have done. Even though he met a premature end due to a medication overdose, I had no complaints. Anyone can make a mistake. With the insurance paying off the mortgage and the compensation I received, I've been able to purchase a modest apartment in Mallorca. So even the darkest clouds can have a silver lining.
Jeremy.
This is from the Daily News of Colombo, Sri Lanka, and it's sent in by Sally Fleming from Rickmansworth. Hemorrhoid sufferers are flocking to a church in central Portugal in the belief they will be cured by exposing their afflicted behinds to the statue of a local saint. The 13th century priest also has a reputation for curing acne and helping women find husbands. Antonio Amador, a local doctor and member of the church, told the paper that several years ago a young woman with severe acne wanted to pray nude in the church, but the local priest would not allow it because he was a bit conservative. Saint Goncalo has a loyal following. Every June, during a festival in his honour, unmarried men and women exchange penis-shaped cakes as tokens of their affection.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final score. Phil and Jeremy have 12, but Linda and Alexei are this week's winners with 20 and go on to meet Zimbabwe in the quarterfinals. And before we leave you, here's an item from the Northumbria University Rag magazine.
An empty aluminium cigar tube filled with angry wasps makes an inexpensive vibrator.
Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Linda Smith, Alexei Sale, Phil Hammond and Jeremy Harvey. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Bream. The chairman's script was written by Paul McKenzie, Lucy Clark, George Coles and Simon Littlefield. The panellist's top hats were supplied by Marika Good. And the producer was Simon Nichols.